Well, I'd like to begin today by sharing with you some words from the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1. He wrote this to those people, and I believe he's also praying that for us today. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. During the season of Advent, we are indeed waiting and preparing for the day of Christ Jesus when he comes again in power and great glory. You know, just 2 weeks ago, we lit the first Advent candle. That candle represents hope. It symbolizes our hope for God's coming again. The great day of the Lord is near, Zephaniah wrote. Near and coming quickly. Listen. Last Sunday, the second Sunday of Advent, when we had our beautiful pageant by our wonderful angels and shepherds. Angels and shepherds and lambs and, oh my goodness, it was just amazing. We lit another purple candle. And that candle signifies peace. When I think of peace, I think of when Jesus met his apostles in the upper room through a door that was locked. He just appeared there. And he said, "My peace I give to you. Peace be with you." Peace. Shalom. Now this morning, Jay read in one of our readings from Paul's letter, and it sounded an awful lot like our closing blessing. The words were a little different, but the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. And it says, guard your hearts and minds in God and also Christ Jesus. And we ask for the peace of God to be upon you. This morning, everybody thinks that candle is pink. No, 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 no. It's rose. Okay, sure looks pink to me. But the liturgical calendar says today is rose. So therefore, we'll go with rose. Now, what does this mean? Joy. Next Sunday, the last purple candle will be lit. And it's the candle of love. Wow. Hope, peace, joy and love. And you'll see on Christmas Eve, not only will we have so many poinsettias remembering so many wonderful people, but all these candles are going to change because of the love of the Altar Guild. All the color candles are going to be changed to white. And the middle candle, which is the Christ candle, will be lit, signifying that we've made it through those 40 days. The 40 days and Sundays, the four Sundays, and it will be the Christmas wreath rather than the Advent wreath. The season of Advent gives us 4 weeks to think about where we are in God's creation. Advent is supposed to be a time when we as individuals, as members of the body of Christ, look at ourselves in the mirror. We should look at the reflection of ourselves and consider what our place is within the large and wonderful family, the body of Christ. Hope, peace, joy, and love. If you're not sure who someone is in the body of Christ, all you need to do is ask Jesus to show you. A lot of times when people meet with me in my office, I pray for them as they're leaving that they would, the next time they look in the mirror, see themselves how Jesus sees them. I think we'd all be floored to see that he loves us that much. Yes, Jesus loves me, and the Bible tells me so. In today's Holy Gospel from Luke chapter 3, verses 7 to 20, well, specifically verses 7 to 8, John the Baptist, or as he's also known, John the Baptizer, told the people, "You brood of vipers!" I'm sorry, did I wake you up? You know, if you say to somebody, "You brood of vipers," is that a compliment? I don't think so. Or as we say today, that would be no. He went on to say, "Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not say to yourselves, 'Oh, we have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham." John was telling them, plain and simple, it's about who you believe in, not who you're related to. Bear fruit. You know what the Greek word for fruit is? Karpas. Store that away. We're coming back to it. Karpas. John's words penetrated right into the heart of the sinner and brought them to their knees in repentance. Now that kind of preaching and power only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Of course, not everybody who heard him would repent. Some of those people thought, "Well, I'm good. I don't need to hear this message." Many would walk away still steeped and lost in their sin. Many would be in need of his message, and they would turn away from their behavior. They would repent and then allow John to baptize them in the River Jordan. God had him baptize so many that he became known, as I said earlier, as John the Baptizer or John the Baptist. I want to suggest to you, what good does it do for any of us to say that Jesus is the reason for the season unless we really recognize that sin and salvation are the reasons for Jesus coming and becoming a person in the first place? Let us not forget that Jesus is the reason for the season and keep Christ in Christmas. But we've got to know why he came in the first place. He came because of you and me. The message of repentance and sin and salvation from sin needs to be heard. And that each one of us, all of mankind, is in need of a Savior. We need to be rescued from ourselves. But there are some people who believe that they don't need any help. They don't need a Savior. Honestly, we should be doing the same thing that John the Baptist did. Proclaiming the coming of the Lord to a world lost in sin. John was indeed called to be getting the word out. The Greek word for getting the word out is keruso. Keruso is not the lady who served lunch in the high school cafeteria with a little net on her head. That's not keruso. Keruso means proclaiming or preaching. Living God's word so that others benefit from our efforts. Was it St. Francis of Assisi who said, "Preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words"? You don't have to stand on a street corner, banging on a rolly Bible. You could be standing in front of a kettle, in front of Belk's, ringing a bell, and just saying, "Merry Christmas and God bless you." That might change somebody's frozen heart this Christmas season. Unbelievable. John the Baptist preached in the wilderness. And you and I are in the wilderness today. We live in a fallen world with people who are looking for something, who are broken, who are hurting. And that something that they're looking for has a name. His name is Jesus, Yeshua. How we respond makes all the difference. John preached about the coming harvest of men's souls. And that message is just as real today as it was way back when in the Judean wilderness. John said that Jesus was coming. Jesus, the master builder, the chief cornerstone, the very Son of God, who had all power in heaven and earth. And he was coming for one purpose. John proclaimed the truth. The Apostle John wrote what John the Baptist said when Jesus came to the river. It's recorded in John 1, verse 29. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Not just the sin of St. Andrew's Anglican Church, or First Baptist, or any other church. The Holy Spirit's calling to remind us he's here. Well, I need to share with you what happened on this past Wednesday night. About 40 people of all ages from St. Andrew's Anglican Church went out to four different places to bring some joy to folks who can't get out this Christmas time. Well, our first stop was at Lakeside Senior Living on North Chester. We went not to the front, where a lot of people just walk in and, oh, isn't this lovely? We went back where it was needed the most, back to the assisted living medical wing. And you know what? It was wonderful. We walked in, and a large group of residents were waiting for us. The nurses were so kind. They had lined them up so we could go and sing to them. Wow. I wish you could have seen the faces on the face of the residents as they saw the kids. As our kids, young and older, sang to them with the love of Christ. You talk about Caruso, getting the word out. Later I heard from some of our kids sharing how much it meant to them to do this. And after we were done at Lakeside, we went to three other homes and sang to those folks too, making their season bright. We didn't get any figgy pudding, even though we sang that about that at every single house. And we said, now bring it right here, but we didn't get any. But Connie Leese did make hot chocolate for the kids. And Jim just glowed because of the love that was shared with the two of them at their house. It was not only fun, but it was a blessing and rewarding to everyone that was involved. This group of carolers was truly producing fruit, but also exhibiting hope, peace, joy, and love in the season of Advent, the season of preparation. The Gospel of Matthew, which is a recording of the event that Luke wrote about, in Matthew chapter 3, gives us the same view of John the Baptist warning the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He went on to say, after telling them that they're a brood of vipers, the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. He said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John was truly an inspired man who loved to proclaim, Caruso, the one who is more powerful than I, and that he was coming soon. Now you might be saying, hey, it's 2,000 years, where is it? You know, was it St. Peter said, to God, a minute is as if 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as if a minute. He'll come in God's time. Now, if you recall, the pregnant Mary visited her cousin Elizabeth in the Judean hill country, right near Jerusalem, because Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, was a priest at the temple. Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant with John, who would go on to be called John the Baptist. And when Mary entered, and I read to you here from Luke chapter 1, verses 41 and 42, Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting. The baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." Some translations say, blessed is the fruit of your womb. Now, I looked at the original Greek transcript, and sure enough, there it was. Karpos. Remember we talked about fruit before? Karpos. Fruit is such an important byproduct of efforts and blessings to others. There are mothers in this room, some who have fruit that they are bearing currently, and some who have borne fruit, who are now growing into their own individuals. But I want you to remember John's words from today's Holy Gospel. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Deacon Bob read that this morning. Jesus also had something to say about what he expects when he comes again. Jesus said, "By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." Jesus' words from Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 to 20. He later went on to say in the Gospel of John, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much karpas, much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." One of my favorite verses, John 15:5. In closing, I have a question for you. If the Lord were to come back right now, today, right now, would he find evidence of fruit in your life? Jesus wants each one of us to be recognized, but to be encouraged and follow his instructions, knowing that, and listen to this carefully, "You did not choose me," Jesus says, "but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.